Welcome to the Power of Attorney Project, which is part of our Conversations That Matter podcast. My name is Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters. This podcast is intended to provide general information only and is not intended to be a substitute for seeking personalized legal, financial, or other advice. This podcast raises issues that our audience can further explore on their own in their own local communities with their own local experts. This project will help to be a call to action for families to solve their issues, find solutions to their problems, and have greater peace of mind.
Hi, my name is Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters. And as part of our Power of Attorney project, today we are talking about trust companies. And our guest expert is Mike Love, and he is the Director of Business Development for Legacy Private Trust, and they are based in Toronto, Ontario. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining our project, and I was particularly interested in having you talk about trust companies because I think they play a very interesting role in this whole power of attorney discussion. So to begin with, I have a series of questions for you. My first one is, what are trust companies and how are they involved in power of attorney?
So just to start, for power of attorney, there's two types. There's personal care slash health, and then there's property and finances. So for personal care and health, only individuals can act in those roles. But when it comes to acting as attorney for property, it can be an individual or it can be a chartered trust company. That's the only type of company that can play that role. And trust companies exist to do things like act as attorney for property and act as executor as well. So the role of attorney for property and attorney for health actually work very closely together to support the decision making for someone that can't do that for themselves any longer. And that's usually determined when a physician or a qualified capacity assessor deems them incapable. The attorney for health will make decisions for, you know, medical treatment, shelter, nutrition, etc. And then the attorney for property on the other side will make decisions for finances to support the feasibility and sustainability of that care plan. But it's important to remember that care plan is always decided by the attorney for health in consultation with medical professionals and their recommendations. And you know, the real way that the trust company is involved in power of attorney scenarios is that they act as a team member with a family member who's making those care decisions. And you know, each side, the financial side and the health side, those situations on either side and each other's decisions will affect the other. So cooperation between trust companies and family members, as well as them both being available to work together, is really critical.
Well, thank you for that. And my next question is, why are people using trust companies more these days in power of attorney situations?
That's a great question. It's fairly simple. I mean, mental health advances are not keeping pace with how, you know, general medicine has allowed us all to live longer. Some people say that, you know, your reward for, you know, healthy living and avoiding heart disease is Alzheimer's and dementia. And there's a lot of truth to that statement. And the reality is that, you know, this decade compared to last, we have a much larger group of elderly people who are alive, but they're mentally incapable, and they need to have a substitute decision maker for health and their property. And, you know, when you have more people with more needs, there's always going to be a percentage that need professional help. So just by virtue of that need growing, the need for trust companies' involvement is also growing.
And my next question is, how can trust companies be a benefit to Canadian families in power of attorney situations?
So there's a number of scenarios. I'll just share a couple with you here. There are people that don't have family at all, and they need someone to, you know, control the purse strings for them to support their care when they can't do that any longer. So that's where trust company can help in the first instance. There are lots of people that do have family, but they're not financially savvy to take on that role. In some cases, they may have actually quite poor financial management skills, and someone would opt to have a professional to make those financial decisions. There are families who anticipate that there might be conflict amongst their children and family and friends if they were to put them in these important roles. So sometimes they want to just have a neutral third party playing that role. They also sometimes anticipate their friends might make mistakes, which unfortunately can lead to litigation, but again, that's where a professional could be of assistance. Often families that live far away may find it difficult because of jurisdictional issues to actually act as an attorney for property. A lot of financial institutions will not release funds even for caregiving expenses if the person directing them is resident outside of Canada. So a lot of Canadian families who have, you know, all their children are U.S. residents, that creates a real jurisdictional issue in terms of the actual logistics of things. And finally, some families just don't want to shoulder that level of responsibility onto their family or friends. It is always a difficult time when a family member has lost mental capacity, and those people need to be there to make healthcare decisions and just to be there for general family support. And on top of their own job responsibilities and other family responsibilities, adding the financial and property power of attorney responsibilities can just sometimes be too much. So trust companies can be there to relieve at least that side of the burden for them.
And my next question is, how do trust companies work in conjunction with families and other stakeholders, such as attorney for property, as a handholder, or as an agent?
So I alluded to this a bit already, but obviously a trust company can make the property decisions for someone alongside a family member who's doing that. Situations where we've been involved, you know, the family's liaised with doctors and medical professionals to say, okay, you know, now mom needs home care brought in, or mom needs to move somewhere else now because something's happened. And you know, we would be in on the ground floor of what needs to happen and look at the financial situations, work with their investment people and other professionals to arrange their property and their finances in a way that supports, you know, the new living arrangement, the new care plan, and so that it can last for a long time. Because the worst thing you would want is to have the finances managed in a way that they run out of money. There's other situations where the family is in that driver's seat with the healthcare decisions, and then what steps to take. And in that sense, we often help those family members to guide them through the decisions that need to be made. We've had scenarios where a daughter was in charge of care decisions, and she didn't know where to start. So we said, you know, where would mom like to be? You know her best. And she said, well, I think a place like this and like this. So we went out and we actually found a number of places where her mom might like, and actually toured them with the daughter, who was then able to make a decision. Guiding them through the process, I mean, they still have to make the decision. That's their role, but we can certainly facilitate it. Finally, there are situations where, you know, someone is all of a sudden in charge of somebody else as an attorney for property, and they may need help. That's when someone, an individual that is in a caregiving capacity on the property side, can hire a trust company as an agent to take care of the day-to-day groundwork and relieve the burden from them in that sense, which is not always the best option, but when, you know, something's already happened, it's better to get some help than to not if you really need it. So.
And just to add to that point a little bit, you know, I often hear of terrible family stories and nightmare situations where siblings are accusing each other of stealing mom's money, not having the skills to do the accounting or any financial background. And, you know, I think as people go to their lawyers to set up these documents, they really need to have honest conversations with their lawyer and with themselves to say, who am I really picking for this very important job? And, you know, I have learned through this project that it doesn't necessarily have to be your family to do all these roles. And I think that's where trust companies have a huge advantage for families, because you can work with a trust company and they come with the skills to manage money. They come with the honesty not to steal mom's money. And they take away a piece of the management that families don't have to do. And, you know, as caregivers and as lay people, it doesn't mean we have to be skilled at everything. And I think part of taking care of an elderly parent is to be able to say, you know what, that's a job I'm not good at or I don't want to do. And so as families have these conversations and as people do pick who's going to be appointed in their power of attorney documents, it's a really great opportunity for families to have very difficult conversations, but ones that I think will save a lot of grief and a lot of surprises down the road.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's really an exercise in saying, you know, for the person who's creating the power of attorney document, you know, who's best to make decisions for me? In the sense of who's going to do the best job for me, who am I not going to overburden, and am I going to create a conflicted situation? And those are kind of the factors you need to look at, and if there are some hesitations, it's worth talking to a trust company just to either realize, yes, the people that I am thinking of are good, or no, maybe I should, you know, do some research and talk further with professionals.
Absolutely. And so that leads me to my next question. How do you get a trust company involved in power of attorney situations?
So the nitty-gritty, I mean, trust companies can be named in a person's power of attorney document. That's the legal document that lawyers draft for people. I mean, before that, usually clients call a trust company. I mean, at least for us, clients call us and we talk, and we often sit down before they meet with the lawyer and understand what their plan is and what might be required to act as their attorney for property. And then, you know, we kind of see if they can benefit from our services in that regard. But, you know, it's really like writing a job description. You know, you don't want to hire someone first and then write the job description. You need to understand what the role is going to be, and then you start your search to find the best person to fill that role.
Well, thank you for that information. And as we wrap up, could you please share your contact information with us?
Sure. So again, it's Mike Love from Legacy Private Trust. I'm the Director of Business Development. My direct phone number is 416-868-4286. Our website is www.legacyprivatetrust.com. And my email address is mbl@legacyprivatetrust.com.
Well, wonderful. Thank you, Mike. And to wrap up, Chris Catta, one of our volunteers, and I have a few closing comments.
Mary, who are our initial project supporters?
We wish to acknowledge that this project is funded in part by the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program. Our other initial supporters include Care Connect, the Care Guide, the Healing Cycle Foundation, and Scotia Trust. Caregiving Matters is an internet-based registered Canadian charity dedicated to educating and supporting family caregivers. 90% of our work is done online and by leveraging technologies. 10% is done by producing local educational events. We leverage technologies in everything that we do, ensuring greater reach and sustainability. I trust that we have given you some of the highlights of our exciting new initiative. If you are interested in speaking with me about the project, please let me know. We look forward to your questions and your ideas.
Mary, if listeners have questions, what's the best way for them to contact us?
Well, they can contact me, Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters. My email is mary@caregivingmatters.ca. Our telephone number is 905-939-2931, and our website is www.caregivingmatters.ca.